This is Valley Edition. Fresno's University High School is routinely ranked as one of the top public high schools in the nation when it comes to academics. Nearly all UHS students wind up going to college, which isn't surprising, given that the charter school is actually located on the campus of California State University, Fresno, where many kids get to take actual college courses while they're still in high school. But the school's future is in question, as there's allegations of discrimination and a looming fight over the renewal of the school's charter by the Fresno Unified School District Board of Trustees. Here to tell us more is Fresno Bee education reporter Mackenzie Mays. Mackenzie, welcome back.
Thanks.
So first of all, what exactly is the allegation that people are leveling against University High School? We've seen it in the news as winning all sorts of awards, but this is a different sort of attention that the school is getting right now.
Yeah, the ACLU actually made a list of about 300 charter schools in California who they said were breaking the law with their prerequisites. And University High was on that list specifically for math requirements and music requirements that kids should be taking before they can enroll there.
Now, why does the school have a prerequisite? Most high schools don't have that. What was their rationale for that, or at least was their rationale for that?
They have really high expectations. There's a reason why they have been ranked seventh best high school in California, and U.S. News and World Report keeps putting them in the top 100 in the country for high schools. So their argument is they would be setting kids up for failure to enroll them in this school without prepping them for these really hard classes that they're going to take. But the ACLU is pointing out that state law says you can't filter out students in a charter school. It's just like a public school in that sense. You have to accept every kid that applies as long as space permits. And so University High listened at least halfway. They took the math requirements out, and so they've been removed from that bad list that ACLU has still on their website, but the school district still has concerns.
And there's also another concern overall of the makeup of the student body in comparison with other districts, in fact, including Fresno Unified's overall demographic makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a really heated school board meeting that I was at recently where they pointed out that the majority of students at University High are white, only about 10%. Qualify for free and reduced price lunch. And it seemed like Fresno Unified, which is overseeing this charter school, had a problem with that because Fresno Unified boasts about its diversity. 89% of kids in Fresno Unified are from low-income families, and it's just such a stark difference. They were wondering if the school is doing enough to allow students of color and all sorts of students access. And one school board member, Cal Johnson, there was a big moment there. He's black, and he said that he won't even go on that school's campus. And here he is, a school board member, and he has refused invitations to attend that school or visit at all because he said, quote, nobody there looks like me. So now we don't know what's going to happen. We're waiting till the next vote. They have not approved the charter or renewed it yet. So
tell us a little more about that meeting. You mentioned it was tense and Cal Johnson's comments at that meeting. What was the overall reaction?
University High's principal, Dr. Bushman, he made some good points. He said, you know, for you to compare our school to the district overall is unfair because you guys have schools that don't match up with your overall student body. You know, you have magnet programs. You have this new great school, Patino High School, that's meant for kids that want to open their own business one day. And if you look at the demographics at that school, less poor kids, more white kids. So he's saying sort of what is the difference and where do you start pulling back your requirements and will that change? You know, as soon as they drop those prereqs, will University High no longer be the best in the nation?
So where does this issue stand right now? We had this meeting last week. Do we have an indication of where school board members are falling on this? Certainly Cal Johnson sounds like he is not a big fan of University High School. It might be surprising if he changed his vote. Who knows? But or if he cast a vote in support of its renewal. But what do we know about the makeup right now? What's next?
Sounds like there's a good chance that they will approve the charter, because at least three school board members said, we shouldn't even be having this conversation. The school is so great, you know, we can pay attention to it, but let's renew it. But then there is some opposition. So University High has already dropped the math requirement, and one school board member, Christopher De Lacerda, has asked them to drop the music requirement. And you could hear the parents in the room sort of gasp at the idea of that. But University High's principal said that's something they'll consider. So we could come back later this month and they could say, hey, we dropped the music requirement and everything is good. Or, you know, we're still waiting to see.
At some point, does this even extend beyond the issue of just race and equity, but also the issue of charter schools in general? The district is one that has to, or doesn't have to, but in this case, in the past, it had authorized this and other charter schools. This is still a controversial issue to some degree, the idea that these schools operate under a different set of rules than traditional schools and in California and in other states. Do you see that also factoring in here?
Yeah, charter schools are still a big hot topic. They are allowed to do a lot of things that public schools may not be allowed to do, but the complaints that this charter school is facing is the same complaints that many charter schools face, because it somehow oftentimes ends up that white high-income families go there because it's just easier sometimes for those privileged families to make a choice to go to a charter school. So even though they may not say, no, you're not allowed to come here, what are they doing to increase access for everyone to go to those schools?
If you just joined us on Valley Public Radio, we're talking with Mackenzie Mays, the education reporter for the Fresno Bee, about the future of the University High School in Fresno. It's on the Fresno State University campus, and it's routinely ranked as one of the top public high schools in the nation. The charter school, though, has a problem in that its student body isn't nearly as diverse as the district that authorizes its charter, and it has these prerequisite requirements, or at least had in some cases. I want to move on from University High School now and move on to the election that's coming up here. The Clovis Unified School District right now is one of the districts that has a number of open seats on this November ballot, and it's been a source of controversy over the past year or so as the district has struggled to adapt to changing requirements and a renewed emphasis on issues of equality when it comes to the district's dress code and support for transgender students. Is that the central issue in the school board election right now? Is this overall idea that Clovis Unified kind of wants to do things its own way?
Yeah, so usually, historically, you and I would not be talking about a Clovis Unified school board election. Incumbents go unopposed. It's usually not pretty newsworthy. They rarely even get competitors to sign up to compete against them, to challenge them. So, yeah, it's the central question has become something that some people there call the Clovis way of life. Some of the school district leaders really value that tradition, but the question now is, where does that tradition become discriminatory and exclusionary? And that's sort of centered around bathroom laws that are designed to protect transgender students. And many of the new candidates that are running for school board have outwardly said that they don't feel comfortable with that, and it doesn't morally match with what they personally believe. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and there's a debate tonight. We'll get into that in a bit. But kind of summarizing the situation here, is it safe to say that there are two camps, two slates of candidates, essentially, the current incumbents? And I think there's one exception, one person who formerly was on the school board and now is seeking a return there. And then this camp of challengers, is that the overall lay of the land? And where do they fall?
It sure looks like it, yeah. So the incumbents seemingly have grouped together. You see their signs together. People that endorse them are endorsing all of the incumbent names, along with Scott Tresher, who ran for school board 2008 to 2012 and is now back at it. And he's sort of been lumped into the incumbents. And then the newcomers have been promoted or are endorsed by this group called Stop the Madness, who has been sort of against the transgender laws and is really looking to keep Clovis really traditional. They didn't want to change the dress code to be gender neutral. And then there's one sort of loner in the bunch. Her name is Isabel Machado, and she has been against both sides, really. She has said, you know, she seems to be maybe the only Democrat that's running, or at least, you know, feels that way. So
So there's a debate tonight, but the debate is apparently shaping up to be rather unusual. And you're moderating the debate. Tell us about what's happening tonight.
Yeah, so the debate tonight is at Freedom Elementary School. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. It sounds like we won't get all of our candidates there. None of the incumbents are attending. So far, they have declined invites, and I've sort of called and double-checked, and they all say that they're busy. They can't come. And so the public has not taken that very well. They think that they should maybe move their schedules around a bit to make it there. But all of the newcomers will be there, as far as I know. So we'll see if any of the incumbents show up, but it sounds like they will not be attending.
Very interesting development in this story. We'll see how it turns out tonight. Who knows what could happen there. Before we go, we have a few minutes left. You have this other story about Syrian refugees, young Syrian refugees who have moved to Fresno, enrolling in school. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's a really hard story to do, you know, because these kids are very clearly kids, and there's a translator translating Arabic into English for you. But you can just tell that they're fascinated. They were grabbing my photographer's camera and grabbing my iPhone, and they know very few words in English, but they kept saying to me, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much." They told one teacher, "Thank you, American." So just being here, they seem to be thankful.
So what's happening? Where are they and what's going on?
They are enrolled in schools. They're trying to get placed in the right schools. We've got 20 who have enrolled in Fresno Unified so far, and we're expecting maybe hundreds more this year. The assessments process is difficult to figure out. Some of them have not been in school for years because of the war. So you've got to match up their age. Is that really where they should be in our American schools? And the school district is being very protective. We were not allowed to tell people where they're living or attending school because of the political climate right now.
Mackenzie Mays covers education for the Fresno Bee. You can read about all these stories in the Bee and online at fresnobee.com. Mackenzie Mays, thank you so much.
Thank you.